Hey, my name is John Holtorf. I'm lead pastor here, a part of our teaching team. I'm so happy to be with you today. Today we're actually closing out our series called Start Here. And this series has really been all about our money and possessions and looking at the things that Jesus taught all throughout the New Testament. So we look at all the different things and we realize that Jesus taught more about money and possessions than he did any other topic. We look at those things and we're like, what can we learn from those things? So in this series, we've been finding, where can we start? I mean, what are some principles that maybe we can use to apply to our finances in 2020? Week one, I brought a message that talked about learning about being generous and what that really looks like. And I think oftentimes we think of generosity and we think, well, I want to be there, but how does that really have to do with how I manage my money? And we see that, man, when we're generous, there's something that happens within God's economy that just changes things. Week two, Brandon brought us a message that was really looking at money and its purpose. And really looking at that thing is, do we understand that money is a means to an end and not the end itself? Last week, Sam brought us a message that was looking at the priority, the authority that we give money. And we asked the question, do we control our money? Or does our money control us? Well, today, the principle that I really want to look at is really giving every dollar a job. It's about giving, having a plan and putting a plan together to tell our money what to go do. And here's some truths about money and planning. Money is easy to keep up with, but it's difficult to catch up with. It's kind of like keeping warm. You know, when you're cold, it's really hard to get warm, isn't it? It's that struggle of trying to get warm. I know for me, it's like when I go shake someone's hand, sometimes often my hand is really, really cold. They tell me it's cold. I tell them it's cold hands, warm heart. They're not believing me yet, so we're working on that. But the whole idea of that is that it's hard to get warm. It's hard to get things moving. It's because your body is transferring all the heat that it would produce to your extremities to try to keep your internal organs warm. So it's stressing out. It's trying to move things around to make it work. Well, the same thing happens with money. See, when you fall behind in keeping track of where your money is going, it ends up putting more stress on you. You become more worried about things. I know there was a time in my life where things looked so, so bad financially that I just stopped caring. How grown up of me, right? You know, it's like I had a 2-year-old tantrum on the inside. My arms weren't flailing, but inside, boy, I really was throwing this major tantrum. And I knew it wasn't good, but who really wants to look at their finances when things don't look very good? I don't think anybody wants to go there. I almost mistakenly believed if I just ignored it, if I didn't look at the problem, it would take care of itself and I wouldn't have to deal with it. But here's the deal. Most often we get to this point because we don't have a plan. We haven't been keeping track. We just spend money where we feel like we need to be spending money. We're not giving every dollar a job. I understand that sometimes circumstances happen in our lives, things that we didn't expect to happen, but that's why we need to have a plan. Because even when things are tough, we need to know where our money is going. And this should seem pretty simple, right? I mean, we know typically how much comes in. I mean, even if it's variable income, we know on average what comes in. And we know when we spend it, you know, whether we spend it or our spouse spends it, whatever else, we know where it goes. So there really shouldn't be a whole lot of mystery when it comes to where our money is going. There's mystery about a lot of things in our lives. There's mystery about relationships and love and romance. We see all kinds of mystery there, don't we? There's mystery when we try to raise kids. I mean, come on. There's times, I know you've had them, where you look at your kid and you're going, why did you do that? What were you thinking? And you get that response that's just like, and you're like, I don't know. And like, yeah, you're right, you don't know. There's a lot of mystery about a lot of things in life. But when it comes to money, there shouldn't be any mystery. The problem is when you lose track of where it's going, you end up feeling like you're out of control and like something's taken over and you're just trying to do that catch up. So consequently, no matter who you are, no matter how much you make, no matter if you're a Christ follower or not, we all need to give every dollar a job, a purpose, a priority. What we're going to discover today, though, is especially if you're a Jesus follower, is that there's every reason in the world for us to keep up with where our money is going. We all need a plan to track our spending, whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. For our scripture today, we're going to turn to Matthew 25. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn. There'll be scripture on the screen. You can use the Bible app. But I want to say, man, if you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you. We've got free ones in the back. We want you to take one. It's our gift to you. Take it home. Dive into God's word and see some of these things for yourselves. But Matthew he was one of the disciples of Jesus, and he's recorded some of the parables that Jesus was teaching. And Jesus used these parables to teach values of God, to teach us how we're supposed to live life here on earth. You may already know this, but in these parables, there's usually someone that represents God, and there's someone that represents the people that Jesus was speaking to. So even to apply it to today, there's someone that represents God, and there's someone that represents us. We're going to look at the second parable in Matthew 25. We're going to start at verse 14. And this is often referred to as the parable of the servants. Another translation calls it the parable of the talents. But here it starts in verse 14. Again, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants, and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. So in this story, right, there's a man who's the master and that represents God, right? And we said there was another category there. That was the servants, and that represents us. So here's the deal. So he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing in proportion to their abilities, and then he left on his trip. So the master divides the people. He brings the 3 people that he has together, and he divides the money up to them and gives them to him while he's away on a little trip here. You may be a little bummed if you were the person that got 1 bag of silver. You're like, well, wait a minute, what about these guys? But the reality is that was a lot of money. When they talk about talents, the amount for a talent was really equivalent to today's money of about $1 million. So shouldn't feel sorry for the guy with 1 talent. He got a substantial amount of money as well. But overall, about $8 million in today's money that he asked his servants to manage for him while he was gone. Let's pick it up in verse 16. The servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So the master comes back from his trip. He calls his servants together. He says, all right, come give me an account for what you did with my money while I was gone. What job did you give my money? Verse 20, the servant with whom he had trusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. And the same thing happens with the servant that he had given 2 bags of silver. He reports and master says, well done, good and faithful servant. Pretty cool. They both doubled their master's money. Verse 24, then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. Verse 26, the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. The issue here wasn't about the amount of money that they were given. The issue was what they did with what they were given. See, the point of the parable that Jesus is making, that 100% of this money belonged to the master. 0% of it belonged to the servant. They were just the managers. They were not the owners. They were asked to give those dollars a job. 2 did, and 1 didn't. We are accountable to our master as well. He owns it all. He allows us to manage some of it. God is the owner, and we are the managers. God is the owner, and we are the managers. But here's the question for us. How can we manage his money if we don't know where our money is going? See, the reason we should keep track of where our money is going is that it's not ours. It's the master's. It's God's. We have to give account to him. So you should pay attention. And the more we have, the more attention that we should pay. I was looking into some things, doing some research this last week at the number of people, the percentage of people that use a budget, and found quite a wide range of responses, anywhere from 30 to 75%. And I think I understand why. When I ask people before, do you have a budget? Often I'll get, I've got one. And then you ask a little bit more questions and find out a little bit more. And I said, well, describe that process to me. What does that look like? Well, each year we prepare a budget and we kind of cast it out for the year and then we kind of just leave it. And I was like, well, what do you mean? Well, it's on the computer. If we really wanted to know where it's at, we go look at it on the computer. Or most often what I hear is like, yeah, we tried. We really sat down and we tried to give it our best effort and things just got out of whack and then we just quit. We just quit doing it. It was just too hard. A budget is useless unless we make the decision to look at it, to adjust it as necessary. It needs to be a living, breathing document, because if it becomes a static, it often becomes a mark of where we've fallen short and we tend to stop using it. But if we feel the freedom to adjust it and to do things and to understand that, hey, we are in control, we can use it to give every dollar a job and adjust as necessary. We can give our money a purpose. We can give every dollar a job. We can be more generous. Sometimes I think we may even think that we don't need to look at a budget. I've heard people say, well, I look at my bank account and if I got money there, I'm good. But often that doesn't work out very well. Others may say, well, I have a budget and I review it maybe every year or every month or so. But that one I think is one that we tried. Early in our marriage, we tried to do that. We used a program called Microsoft Money and it was all in retrospect. We all looked back on the month that just had happened. And the reality, the problem with that was we'd end up doing our going through our month and then look back and go, well, that didn't work. Oh, now what? And so we'd look back and we'd say, oh, I see what happened. We'd had that water heater go out on in the house. And we had to have hot water, so we went and spent money there. Or the car registration came due and we hadn't planned for it, and so we had to spend that because we need transportation. And I understand all of those things. That's happened to us. But what happened is when we looked at those things, we tried to make changes. If we didn't adjust and didn't look at them along the way, they would just be the same story the next month. We needed a system to look at weekly, if not even daily. And the cool thing is that today, there's so many different things out there with different apps and different programs that allow us to do this easier than it was before in the past. Has anybody ever downloaded an app to maybe track what you eat or how many glasses of water that you drink in a day? You know, we even have apps on our smartphones and smartwatches that track things like the number of steps, your activity each and every day. For my wife's birthday last year, I bought her an Apple Watch. And I can remember that first week and even today, how driven she was. And that first night, I remember we were getting ready for bed and all of a sudden she was just walking around the main floor of the house. I'm like, what are you doing? And realized that she was trying to get her steps in. She goes, I got only got 100 more. I got to get them in before I go to bed. And it's like the reality is that when we have those things, these goals, when we know where we are, we're much, much more apt to go and try to achieve those goals. Similar if you've ever tracked your food intake and you were, you know, trying to hit a calorie goal for a day. You know, tracking our food often understands, you know, we look at those and informs each and every one of our decisions, makes us more intentional, more careful about what we're eating. And the more often you do it, the better you're able to make adjustments as necessary. Yeah, okay, I cheated here, but now I can be better a little bit later on. When it comes to our money, sometimes the same things happen, but here's the problem. We live paycheck to paycheck. But at least when we have a habit of knowing where our money is going, it may have the opportunity for us to make some adjustments as necessary to make things work. It's important for us to give every dollar a job. And this is even more important when we find times when we are blessed, maybe with extra income. Maybe it's a bonus or this time of year we're all getting excited to hopefully get a tax return, right? But the reality is if we don't give those dollars a job, what happens? They disappear. I know from experience. Maybe you've entered a time in your life right now where you have less money. There's been seasons in our life where that's happened as well. And married couple, and we're just like, how do we do this? We have to take a step back financially. And it's not an easy thing. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe someone's lost a job. Or maybe you've moved and you're down to one income. Or maybe you've taken a different job that pays less. Those times are tough. no matter what. But without a plan, it makes those things so difficult and maybe even impossible. But if you're keeping track of where your money's going and those seasons come upon you, you're able to look exactly where you are and be able to make adjustments as you need to. I don't know where, if you don't know where you are, you don't know where you need to go in the midst of that. With a plan, you can hopefully figure out a way to maybe just weather the storm and maybe even adjust to a new reality. Without it, you won't even know where to start. There's probably a smaller percentage of you here that say, think, maybe, actually, I'm doing pretty good financially. I'm making really good money, and I don't really think I need a budget. But the reality is you still need to track where your money is going, because you're often confronted with the reality of how much you're spending in different areas on certain things, no matter what your financial position. One thing that I've done with my kids is, as they're growing up, is require them to put together a budget to track where their money is going. It typically starts, you know, after the first couple of months, after they've get their first job and they have some disposable income. You guys remember what disposable income was? That was awesome, wasn't it? And when you had that little money coming in, you're like, oh, I got no obligations. I get to do what I want to with this money. It's a freeing thing. But I would have them sit down after a month or two, and then we would categorize all their transactions. And it was amazing to see how much they would kind of go through. And they were like, I spent how much on coffee and eating out? Gas is that much? And you're like, yes, and I've been paying for it, and I'm done. Thank you very much for getting a job. I'm guessing some of you that if you did that as well and you tracked your spending, you might have some of the same responses. Even if you have a lot of money, you may be shocked about where it's going. Because see, sometimes when we have a lot of something, we actually tend to be more wasteful, don't we? I mean, think about water. And this isn't to make anybody feel bad, but for many people in the U.S., water is seen as an endless resource. In the morning, as we're getting ready, we turn on the shower to get it warm. But then we start doing something else, and we realize that the water's been running and with hot, you know, water for 5 or 10 minutes before we get in. Or as we're washing dishes, and we're washing some and rinsing them off, but we leave the water running in between. Or washing the car, if you can't find the nozzle and just set the hose down in the yard, thinking, well, at least I'm watering the yard and doing that way and rinsing it off. We often waste those things. But there are places in this world, and some of you have visited those places, that if they saw how careless we were with water, they would be just appalled at it. Why? Because for them, water is scarce. But when you have more of something, sometimes we just feel, I don't need to be as careful. If you're a follower of Jesus, when it comes to money, we have a responsibility. We need to know where our money's going. We look at what Jesus taught, and we need to know where our money is going, and that God is the owner, and we are just the managers. So I want to give you a little challenge, all right? Give us a challenge as we look at what we can do for you. First part of the challenge is this. Track your spending. Track your spending. For the next 2 months, challenge you to figure out a way to document your spending, something that will work for you for the next 2 months. I want you to follow it. I want you to see where your money is going, what it's doing for you. I'm going to talk about some resources a little bit later, but there are a bunch of apps and other software out there that can help you make this an easier process. So track your spending. The second part of the challenge is to look at the results. Now, that may sound like a pretty obvious thing, but sometimes we'll want to do that. We're like, no thanks. I don't really want to look at where it's going. It may be painful. I get it. But let's look at it. See what's going on. See where we're spending our money. Don't just put it in your top drawer. And here's the deal. If you're married, you both need to sit down and look at the money and where it's going. Third step is this, is to create a budget. Give your money some purpose. Take control of it. Give every dollar a job. So create a budget. Give it an assignment. Tell it what you want it to do. And the final part that kind of caps it all off is adjust where needed. See, this is vital for us to be able to sustain this process. This whole idea of a budget plan being a living document is truly that. You're going to have to roll with the punches. Things aren't going to go your way. You're going to need to make some adjustments. So understand that. But roll with the punches. For some of you, you're going to be thrilled. For some of you, you're going to be shocked when you go through this. Now, if you're married, one of you loves me right now, and the other person absolutely hates me. I get it. Opposites attract. That's often what it is. So there's often tension in a marriage when trying to deal with these things. These steps here are practical, though. You don't even have to be a Christ follower to find this helpful. But here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus, this goes way beyond just being practical, way beyond being helpful. If you're a Christian, you've defined your relationship with God based on the things that Jesus taught. So why? Why would you? Why would I? Why would we not lean on as heavily what he said about money and possessions? When you're sick, you ask God to intervene in your health. When your children have strayed away from faith, you ask God to intervene and bring them back. When your kids go off to camp or off to college, you ask them to protect them, to watch over them. In other words, if you're a Christian, you invite God in on almost everything else you can invite God in on. Why in the world would we hold back when it comes to our money and possessions? There's a couple reasons why I think we may. I think one is what I've just talked about a little bit earlier, is that we don't see God as the owner. We see us as the owner. But when we see him as the owner, it's easier for us to trust him with his money. And number two, because in all the other areas of our life, we don't have control over them anyway. So it's easy for us to give up control to something that we don't even have control with to start with. And that's why Jesus is such a great teacher, such a master storyteller. Because 2,000 years ago, he knew that your money, your possessions, is where the rubber meets the road in terms of your ultimate devotion. He realized it was going to be much easier for you to give your heart to Jesus than to give your money to Jesus. So Jesus started talking about things like where your heart is, your treasure will be also. He said often that you look at the ultimate measure of your devotion to God is what you do with your money. He said a person can't have two masters. He's going to have one. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve money. So over and over and over, he says, come on. You're going to trust me with your eternity. You're going to trust me with your health. You're going to trust me with your life. You're going to trust me with your children. You're going to trust me with your marriage. You're going to trust me with your singleness. You're going to trust me with your joblessness. You're going to trust me with your opportunities. So why would you hold back? Why would you hold back when it comes to your money? It doesn't make any sense. And what did Jesus say about money and possessions? He was so, so clear. He says, it's not even yours. It's the master's. It belongs to my Father in heaven. God is the owner. And we're the managers. Here's the bottom line. Throughout the teaching of Jesus, I think we see how we manage our money speaks volumes of who we are and whose we are. And here's how you already really know this. Because you've met some very generous people. You've met some people that were really, really generous but didn't have hardly anything. You've met some people that were average in how much wealth they had, and they were very generous. And you've seen people that are very wealthy that are very generous. And you see how they manage their things, how they give of their finances, how they give of their stuff, how they are blessings with their homes and blessings with so many different things that they have. And you see all those things and you know, that person, they get it. They're the real deal. I don't know about their prayer life. I don't know about their relationship with God. I don't know how often they go to church, how much often they talk to God. I don't know any of that. I don't know how they raise their children. But one thing I do know is that, man, how they manage their things, how they manage their stuff, they're a blessing to those around them. And Jesus knew the very same thing. How your money says so much. It probably says more than anything else about who you are and whose you are. So the important thing for us to do is to pay attention, to keep track, to be good stewards, to be good managers. Because if you pay attention, you'll live better. I think you'll love better. You'll be more generous. You're going to have far less fear, far less worry, and you have far more purpose when it comes to your money and possessions. So I really want to encourage you, lean in, take the 2-month challenge. For you, maybe it's just doing it manually. You don't like the technology. Hey, that's great. Start on March 1st and go through April 30th. Manually, just keep track of everything that you spend. See where your money is going. If you don't mind jumping into some apps, man, there's so many really cool tools out there for you. Something like every dollar, I think it's a Dave Ramsey thing, or envelopes, or Mint, or You Need a Budget, any of those things. And the really cool thing about those things is that you can jump into a trial with those, and you can import your transactions and look back on what you've done over the last 2 months. And after you've completed that challenge, over the next couple months, you need to take the next step. You need to look at them. You need to review them. But then you need to create a budget. Put together a budget. And sometimes people get in this spot and they're stuck and they go, how do I do that? I don't know how to do that. And one of the things that we offer here, usually on, at least on a yearly basis, we did it just last semester, was Financial Peace University. If you've not done that, I really want to encourage you to jump into Financial Peace University. If you would like to be part of a next class or know when the next class is coming up, on your Connect card that's in front of you, you can actually write FPU, put your information, and we'll actually be in touch with you and let you know when we're planning on a next one. The other thing that we offer here is that we offer one-on-one personal coaching. We want to be able to know that we don't go it alone. When we say that here as a core value, we really mean it. We have a few people here that will sit down with you, that will put together, help you put together a plan of what to do and how to manage your money. If you don't know where to start, I just encourage you, write coaching on that Connect card and drop it as you leave in one of the canisters. When we make those efforts and we do those things, it makes a difference. I look at my life. I look back on how we've managed money, how it's made a difference in our life, how it's impacted our marriage. And I know that money is such a hard thing when it comes to marriages. The number one reason for conflict in a marriage is money. Number one reason for divorces is money. Is because there's not being able to come to, we need to come together. This is so valuable. We need to be on the same page. And the reality, even if your marriage is strong and you're doing it well, the reality is that there's a whole lot of stress living paycheck to paycheck, not trusting in the provision of what God has had for us. So when we put together a plan, we can make one that works instead of just trying to figure things out as we go along. I want to encourage us to jump into this. What would it mean for you? If you were to make some changes in your finances, what would that look like? And what difference could it possibly make to you? If we're looking at 2020 and we're saying, hey, let's start here. Let's be more generous. Let's give our dollars some meaning and some purpose. Let's know where our money is going. Let's actually have control of it instead of letting money control us. And let's give every dollar a job and be good and faithful stewards. Lean on the fact that God is the owner. And as the owner and as our Father, He wants to bless us. We just need to be good stewards. Let's manage it well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Even if things are tough, Lord, we live in a blessed nation. We are truly rich in so many different ways. Father, help us to be faithful stewards. Help us manage your money well and your resources well. God, help us to look to make changes, to dive into this area that maybe we've just avoided and not really wanted to lean into. And man, if we're married, God, I just pray for those conversations. I pray for open hearts. I pray for open conversations to be able to go at it together, to be on the same page, to accomplish these things together, and ultimately to do your will. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your wisdom and your teaching. We pray that we can lean in to these things and pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at nhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.